is the Son of the living God. Stand with me this morning and grab your Bibles and go with me to Exodus, the 17th chapter. If you can give me a little bit more up here, guys, I greatly appreciate that. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 14. A little bit more. Exodus chapter, he gonna help his God daddy preach every week. I love it. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 14. When you have it, say amen. If you don't, just say wait on me. Exodus chapter 17, a little bit more. Amen. Just help me out some this morning. Exodus 17, there we go. 8 through 14. Reads as this from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on the scroll, on a permanent reminder, and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under the heaven. Moses built an altar there, and he named it Yahweh Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fist up against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generations after generations. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and the liberty of your word. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will be with us, that you will open up our eyes and our ears that we may hear from you, oh God, for you have something to say to all of us. I pray right now that you, oh God, will speak to us through your word, Father God. Give clarity, give encouragement, oh God, give instructions, oh God, that we may do what you say to do when you say to do it. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. As you're taking your seat, before you take your seat, say something to your neighbor, encourage your neighbor, give them a compliment, amen, as we get ready to go into the word of God. What a blessing it is to be together again in the land of the living. To all of our elders and ministers, to our deacons, to our mothers, to all of God's people, we are just certainly glad to be in the house of worship again. Amen? To be in the house of worship again. You've heard me over the past few weeks say a phrase that I've been continuing to say and will continue to say it until we are done with this series. When God wants to show you a side of him that you've never seen before, he usually does it in the middle of a mess, in the middle of a problem, or in a circumstance. When God wants to reveal himself in a way that we have never done it before, God would not just show himself in the good times of our lives. God would not just show himself when it's sunny outside, the weather is nice, and everything is going well in our lives. Bank account is looking good. Relationship status is well. Health is well. But God will also use the trouble in our lives if we let him to reveal to us something about him that we never knew before, to show us a side of him that we've never seen before. If we want to experience God and get to know him in a way that we've never experienced before, God is Jehovah Adonai. God is the God of all control and rules over everything, can take our trouble and show us something about him in trouble that we would have known before. God will take our health. God will take messy relationships. God will take jacked up finances to show us something and to reveal something about ourselves, about himself, that we've never seen before. To reveal to him, to reveal to us how God can come close in times of trouble. How God can become personal and relational in times of circumstances. How God can reveal himself in some of the greatest tragedies in our lives to reveal that he's God, and he's God all by himself. We've been looking at the names of God, and I pray that we have taken heed to how God desires to show himself in our lives in a personal way, that once we walk away from that encounter, walk away from that experience, we will know without a shadow of a doubt that it was God and God alone. Last week, we looked at the name of God, Jehovah Saba, which means he is our warrior. He is our God that fights for us. And this morning, we look at another opportunity where God allows for trouble and circumstance to reveal something about himself that Israel had not known. Up until now, whenever there was a fight, whenever there was a battle, God would fight for Israel. But we get here to Exodus chapter 17. That God flips the script and he uses the battle of the Amalekites coming against Israel to teach Israel how to fight their own battles. He's not just using it as an opportunity to be able to teach Israel how to be able to fight their own battles, but for you and I today, his children whom he loves so dearly, he uses the story as an avenue to teach you and I how to be able to fight our battles. How to be able not to wimp out, not to back up, but to be able to confront and to fight the battles that we have in life. Truth be told, I know we may not look like it, but all of us in here are in a battle. All of us in here are either in a battle right now in our lives, or came out of a battle, or getting ready to go into the fight of our lives. But all of us are somewhere within those three areas. And God wants to use the word today to show us and to prove to us how God would teach us how to fight our battles if we just take heed to what he says. He introduces himself here in Exodus chapter 17. To the Israelites as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Before we get to verses 8 through 15, we would just be so wrong if we didn't take the time to investigate the context about what's going on in this story here. Moses and Israel, they are here now. They have made it to Rephidim. Rephidim is known as to be a place of comfort, to be a place of rest. They have been fighting. They have been going through some stuff. They have been delivered out of Israel. Now they're headed to the promised land, and they just now thinking, as we've gone through so many battles in our lives, we get here to Rephidim, a place where we can be able to find comfort, a place that we can be able to rest. Now the only thing is, they get here to this place of comfort, and Baker, they get here to this place of rest to only get there and not have nothing at all to drink. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They're out in the wilderness. They're out in the desert, and it's dry and it's hot and they're thirsty. And they began to complain to Moses, "Moses, we are thirsty. We are tired. We have been traveling all this way. We need some water. Give us some water to drink," is what the people demanded. And Moses, I know we see him as a great leader, but I know I love now as we see Moses as a leader who gets frustrated with leading God's people. He tells all of them, "Be quiet. Shut up. Lord, have mercy. Just like you're thirsty, I'm thirsty as well. And he tells everybody to be able to be quiet. And he asks them the question in verse 2. He says, why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? What do you want me to do? Don't you realize we out here in the wilderness? We out here in the desert. There is no Dollar General. There is no gas station for me to go and get some ice and some water to cool you down. Just like you're thirsty, I'm thirsty too. What do you want me to do? Moses then settles down by telling them to be quiet, and then he goes to inquire of God. Any good leader knows that if you're going to lead God's people, you're going to have to get God involved and ask him some questions about what you need to do and how you need to do it. I'm going to say it again. Any good leader knows that in leading God's people, it is to our advantage to be able to get God involved in what's going on. Otherwise, we will become overwhelmed with the people and get frustrated with the people and mistreat the people. So Moses realized, I have to get God involved in what's going on. Verse 4, Moses cries out to God. He said, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. They are so thirsty. They are so tired. They are so weary. I need something. You have to give me a plan. You have to give me a solution in order to be able to be with these people and to serve these people. And God tells Moses, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk in front out of the people. I want you to take that same staff that you parted the Red Sea with. I want you to take that staff. I want you to go out and stand before the people. Call for the elders of Israel to be able to join you. And once you get to the rock of Mount Sinai, I want you to strike the rock. And when you strike the rock, water is going to come out of the rock, and the people will have all that they need. Moses did just that. He struck the rock as God commanded him to do. And the Bible says that water begins to gush out of the rock. They're at Rephidim now, a place of rest, a place of comfort. And now their thirst has been quenched. They have water. The place of rest and the place of comfort only lasts for so long, because the story shifts to verse 8. Isn't it just like that for you to have one of the greatest victories of your life and everything is going well? I mean, you've been fighting the devil, his grandkids, great-grandkids, siblings, and all of that, and you've made it to a place of victory where you feel as if everything is good now, Deacon White. All is well now. We are settled. We are good. We are experiencing the blessings of God. We are experiencing the joys of God. We're here at Rephidim. We're here at Hotel Rephidim. We got comfort. We got rest, and we also have water. All is well in the land. But then it shifts at verse 8. The Bible says that Amalek comes up against Israel, ready to fight, ready to combat. And now the story shifts. Now they're in the middle of a problem. Now they're in the middle of a circumstance. Now they're in the middle of a mess. And now they got to figure out what to do. And Moses quickly goes and tells Joshua, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out. I want you to go out. I want you to go and choose some men who can be able to fight the army of Amalek. Tomorrow, I'm going to stand at the top of the hill and holding the staff of God in my hand. This is when Joshua makes his introduction. He has been serving Moses, not knowing that he's going to be the next one to come and take over after Moses, but he has been serving Moses, and now Moses gives him instructions on what he needs to do, and he says, go find you some men that can be able to go out in the battle, and then I'm going to go on a hill and be with God, with the staff of God in my hand. God teaches us how to fight our battles, because here's the thing that you and I have to learn, saints of God, that when it comes to God and whatever it is that God wants to do in our life, there is the God factor. Everybody say God factor. Everybody say God factor again. There is the God factor, where God is going to do only what he can do, but don't walk away too quick, because there is the human responsibility that we have as a part of the God factor, because there's something amazing that happens that when we combine and collide our human responsibility with the God factor, we can then experience victories and miracles in our lives when we allow God to do what only God can do. But a part of that, God is expecting for us to do what only we can do. We are not to be the man main attraction, but we are to get an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actors. We do have a part that we play along with what God is desiring to do in our lives. Moses says, I'm going to be at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. I love this because God switches everything up. Now, the rod that was in the hand of Moses was once called the rod of Moses. Y'all remember that in the Bible when he had the rod and he threw it down and it turned to a snake? But then what Moses did was he took what God had gave him and gave it back to God. And now it transitioned from being the rod of Moses to being the rod of God. Moses gave back to God what God had gave to him. And now God is using that to be able to work a miracle in the life of Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel. He says, I'm going to be at the mountain with God with the staff of God in my hand, but I need some people on here to be able to fight. Moses says, I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand, but I need some people on earth to be able to fight. God was going to do his part, but Israel had to show up to be able to participate in the miracle that God was going to do in his life. Okay, y'all still miss what I'm saying. God was going to be God and do what only God could do. However, there was a responsibility of Israel to be able to get out there on the battlefield and not just show up to the battlefield, but they have to show up to be willing to fight for their lives and to fight for their families. God is saying to us, he is ready to do miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives. He is ready to literally blow our minds, but he's waiting on us to fulfill the human responsibility that we have. There is no sense of you praying and saying, God, I'm just believing you. You're going to heal me of my sugar diabetes. Oh, God. But you just came back from Runderman's Farms yesterday with a dozen of their apple donuts. And it has not been 24 hours yet, and the donuts are already gone. How do you expect for God to do the God factor of healing you of diabetes, but you're taking in an overwhelming amount of sugar? How can you say, well, I know God is Jehovah Jireh. He's going to provide for me. He's going to make a way out of no way. He's going to open up doors for me. He's going to shower down blessings and just over, his blessings going to overtake me. Oh, I'm just living in the overflow of the blessings of God. But you don't trust God with what you have to tithe or to give. You don't trust God with what you have. And we expect God to bless us because we've been irresponsible. Oh, I ain't got no help this morning. I bought two amens with me in my back pocket. We expect for Jehovah Jireh to come in and perform miracles, but we have not submitted to Jehovah Adonai, the God who rules over everything. Oh, Lord, I just know you're going to bless me with a boo this year. Lord, you're going to send him or her from the north, the out, the west, the east, and the west, Lord. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. You're going to bring him for the Bahamas, God. But our relationship with him is not tight. And he knows if I bring somebody else into your life and you're not even talking to me now, you'll never talk to me if I bring you somebody else. There's the God factor, but then there is our human responsibility, and something amazing happens. Only when we bring our mountain and our valley experiences together does victory become a reality. Only when we bring our mountain high experiences and our valley low experiences together, when they collide, that's when miracles and victories become a reality in our lives. God wants us to take what we experience on the mountaintop and bring that down here on the earth and what happens in the valley and bring it together. God wants to combine our human responsibility with his supernatural power to come together so that we can experience
saying, Pastor, we've been talking about we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. We don't want to fulfill our duties. We don't want to do our part. We don't want to show up to the fight. He tells them, go find you some men to fight. I just don't need them to show up, but I need them to show up and to fight. And I'm going to go to the mountain. I'm going to have the rod of God in my hand. Bible goes on to say, he does that. Verse 10. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby mountain. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, and the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses says, me, Aaron, and Hur are going to go to the hill, and you all stay down here, and you fight. The fight begins, and the fight is continuing, Brother David. And they notice a shift within the fight. They notice all of a sudden we were gaining upon the Amalekites, but then something turned, and now the Amalekites was gaining on us. We were winning, and then we were losing. We had the victory, but then there was a certain shift, and we started losing. They didn't realize that what was happening on the ground was being dictated by what was going on the hill. They thought that what was dictating what was happening in the battle, Sister Moore, was being dictated by what was going on in the battle. But what was dictating what was going on the ground in the battle was determined by what was happening on the hill. Moses' job on the hill was to have the staff of God and to be able to appeal to the Lord on behalf of Israel. Some theologians go back and forth and say, oh no, he was just there interceding. Or some say they were there praying, but I want to go with both, that Moses was there on behalf of Israel interceding and praying for God to be able to get involved in what was going on in the affairs on earth. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, because the Bible says that after a while, Moses begins to get weak and he's no longer able to hold the staff up in the air. He's no longer able to keep his hands up because he has grown weary and he has grown tired. But please, 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 please understand this and realize that what determines what's going on here on the earth is being predicated what's going on the hill. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. In the battles that you and I are fighting, we have to ask ourselves a critical question. Have we gotten heaven involved? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you gotten heaven involved? Have you gotten heaven involved? Have you gotten heaven involved? Have you gotten more focused on the battle? Have you gotten more focused on what's happening down on the ground, that you have forgotten that someone needs to be at the top interceding and appealing for heaven to be able to get involved? Have we missed one of the important factors that while we're in the battle, while we're fighting and growing weary and growing tired, have we gotten heaven involved? So in other words, have you been praying? Have you been seeking the face of God? Not just to use as a cover-up to give us more time and being lazy and refusing to go out into the battle, but have we been inquiring of God of what God desires from us and what he wants us to do as it pertains to the battle that we're in? Sometimes we give more attention and energy to the battle than we do to appeal to God. Sometimes we give more focus and attention to the battle more than we do in talking to God about the battle. Because what determines the length or the breadth of the battle is not what's going on in the battle. It's about what's going on the hill. It's about what's going on in the mountain. It's about what's going on in my conversation with God as I invite for heaven to get involved in my affairs. So I ask yourself the question, have you extended an invitation for God to get involved in your battle? Have you been talking to the master about your master? Have you been talking to the master about your battle? And as you've been talking to your master about the battle, have you made the battle bigger than your master while you're talking to the master? You know we do that sometimes, right? Become the God that we pray. Oh my God, God, we pray to you. And we're panicking and we're screaming and we're nervous and we're upset and we're pacing the floor and we're walking the floor and we're losing our hair, we're losing sleep, we can't eat, we can't sleep, we can't look, we can't hear, we can't do nothing. And we forget that we're talking to Jehovah Elohim, the strong creator God that made the heavens and the earth, that rain cannot come unless he gives it permission to. But we're panicking as we talk to the Creator. Have we gotten heaven involved in the battle that we're in? Or have we gone so weary because of the battle that we don't have the strength to be able to talk to God? Have we grown so faint in the battle that talking to God is not even on our list of priorities to do? And let's be honest, we all have been there. Because it's not like it's one battle, but sometimes it's a tsunami of battles that come back to back to back. Okay, my alternator went out on the car. Okay, boom, that's cool. Okay, now I need brakes. OMG, okay, now I need tires. Oh my gosh, now the refrigerator. Oh my God, real life, a tsunami of stuff that happens all at once that overtakes us, that now I am all the way down to tears and I have no words to be able to say. Bible says as long as Moses' arms were up, Israel won against the Amalekites. But when his arms fell, they began to lose. I like what happens in verse 12 because something happens that you and I need to adopt and to realize in our own lives. Look at verse 12. It says, Moses' arms soon became so tired that he no longer could hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So he held his hands steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. I love it because something happens here. Moses gets tired. They catch on. Hey, there's something about Moses' arms being up with the staff of God in his hands as he's appealing to heaven on our behalf. When they're up, we win. But when they go down, we lose. Moses is getting tired. We got to do something to keep his arms up so that we can win. I love it because it is the discernment of his community that recognizes the fact the brother is tired. Notice what they don't do. They've been there with Moses. They've seen how he has held his arms up with something in his hands for an extended period of time. It only makes sense that after a while, your arms are going to get tired and you're gonna need some rest. What Aaron and Hur don't do, they don't ask Moses, why are you tired? That's like someone knowing the struggles that you're going through, and they ask, what's wrong? Have you not been here to see what has been going on? Now, I'm really about to go off on you because you done been here on the journey with me the whole time, and you have the audacity to ask. You done seen my Facebook posts? You done seen my TikToks, and you're asking me why I'm upset and why I'm tired? It was the discernment of Aaron and her that they recognized what was going on, and they didn't ask a weary person why they were weary. They stepped up and did what was necessary to help Moses survive and help Israel to be able to win. What are you saying, Pastor? I know we live in an independent society and generation now, but the old songwriter was right. You're going to need somebody to lean on. Oh, yes, you are. And thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for the church of Jesus Christ. Thank God for people that God will send in your life that know you well enough that they can be able to discern when something is off and going wrong in your life, and the discernment leads them to creativity and innovation to help you in your times of weariness. That's why we can't forsake having community, because someone, I know, nah, I'm just going to stick to myself. I'm going to do what Vicky Wine said, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I can't stand that song. I love you, Vicky, though. I love you, but I can't stand that song because it goes against what the Word of God says, that we need people in our lives. We, as believers of Jesus Christ, were never meant to walk this journey by ourselves. And you have to be close enough so that when you're going through, folks can pick it up. Something ain't right. What's going on? Oh, man, you ain't lifted your hands in church in about 5 weeks. Well, you ain't been to church in 2 months. What's going on? What's happening? We'll ask a friend. Why didn't he meet us for the movies? But we want to ask him, how come you ain't been at church? That we're close enough with them that we can be able to discern when something is wrong. And that when we're able to discern when something is wrong, look at what Aaron and Hur don't do. They don't go and expose the weakness of their leader to the people. Lord, I am preaching in here this morning. Oh, yes, I am. They don't take the time to expose the weakness of their partner in ministry with the people. They cover Moses. And they go, they realize this brother needs some strength. Because when his hands are up, it's when we're winning. Their discernment leads them to action. And they go and find a rock. And they roll a rock over to Moses and say, Moses, you sit right here. Hur, you go on that side. I'm going to stay on this side. And we're going to hold his arms up. And as they held up Moses' arms, Bible says that Joshua was able to take Elimelech out. He was able to walk away with the victory because there was a God factor, and then it was a human responsibility. And their human responsibility was, we're going to get this rock for Moses, and then we're going to take turns on be on each side, and we're going to hold his arm up. Here it is. Notice what doesn't happen. Moses, oh, y'all about to get mad at me. Y'all about to fix my plate right when you get home for tomorrow. I'm going to come get it, because the one I'm about to say, you're about to get mad at me. Notice, Moses does not deny the help. Moses allows himself, oh God, I'm about to get in trouble again, to be vulnerable in front of Aaron and Hur and open himself up to receive the help necessary, not just for him to win, But for everybody to be able to win, he doesn't allow for his pride or his ego to get in the way and say, well, I can do this myself. Just give me the rock. Just give me a stone. Just prop it up on the stick right there. No, he allows himself to be vulnerable in front of the people that he's leading so that they can be able to help him. Many of us don't experience the God factor of him doing the supernatural in our lives because we want to control and dictate what the help looks like.
Y'all don't want to talk with me this morning. Oh my goodness. We want to control
what the help looks like. We only want the help that will come from people that's been rolling with us for the past 40, 50, 60 years. Oh, they know everything about me. No, but sometimes God will send some new people into your life that he wants to use in this particular season in your life to help you to be able to gain the victory in your life, but not just the victory for you, but for the victory of everybody that is connected to you. So you owe it to yourself, but I'm not going to refuse help. I'm going to discern the help, but I won't refuse help that God will send to me in my life. Thank God for the help of people that God will send your way that will say, I don't have to know all the issues. All I need to know is, what side do you need me to come on to be able to help you keep standing? How can I pray for you? What scriptures do I need to read in your hearing to keep you on the up and up so that you can be able to win the victory?
We need to be like Aaron and her. Well, we're close enough to people to discern that something is off, and we allow God to lead us in bringing solutions. If I'm weary, don't come to me with more problems. If I'm frazzled, why do you keep telling me about other issues? They discerned something was off, and they came with a solution. And Moses was not afraid to be vulnerable in front of them. He wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. We all need a safe space. We all need safe people. Because sometimes it ain't even about your words. But knowing your presence is there to help me fight the battle that I'm in. Moses was open to the help. He didn't reject the help. And God is saying to you and I today, I want to teach you how to fight your battles. But in teaching you how to fight your battles, I'm going to assign some people that may be in your life for a season or may be in your life for a lifetime that will help you stand up and help you to be able to fight the battle. Let me flip the script real quick. He not only wants to send those people to you, but he wants to send you to those individuals. Because you know what's just real gross and nasty? One-sided relationships. They're disgusting. They make me puke. One-sided relationships. You go through, you done fell out and cried. I done held the garbage can for you while you threw up. But I stumped my toe and I asked you to go get me some Advil. And you busy. I just gave you gas last week. How you busy? They ain't none of my business, is it? I know they ain't none of my business. But just what you're needing God to send into your life, God wants to send you to be that in somebody else's life. God had gone before them
to be their banner. Banners were used in biblical times as a flag to signify who they belonged to. It was to unify the people as one. It was to keep their focal points on who they represented based off of that flag. That God was going to protect them. That God was going to go before them and fight for them. And just as God did that for Joshua and Moses and Israel, he wants to do that for us. But there's a part that we play. There's a part that God plays. There's a part that we play as it goes with that. Besides yourself, who have you been praying for that you know is in the fight of their life? Besides those that are in your bloodline, who have you been praying for that you know are in a major fight? Are you close enough with your church community that you recognize something is off with that person? And you inquire, not to be nosy, but you inquire so that you can pray. And so that you can let them know, I'm here to help you carry this thing so that you can win. Who have you been interceding on behalf of? God will bring them on the other side of their circumstances and their problems. Just what you've been praying for God to send to you, God is desiring to send you to that person. God is desiring to send you to be their Aaron and to be their Hur. If we want to see a side of God that we've never seen before, God will use a problem. God will use a circumstance. God will use trouble. Because in the words of Mother Helen Jennings, God does not waste anything. And he's able to take the most devastating things of our lives to get the greatest glory for himself, but to create the most beautiful masterpiece for us that we've never seen before. I want you, if you're comfortable enough, to grab that neighbor's hand that you're sitting next to, if you got a link up, fist bump, whatever your comfort level is, I want you to connect with that person that you're sitting next to. 9 times out of 10, you're probably sitting by somebody that you already know. If you don't know, it's all cool in the game. But I want you to pray. You don't have to ask. You don't have to get any details. But I want you to pray for that individual as if it was yourself. I want you to pray for them how you will want someone to pray for you. Because how the battle is determined is not by what's happening in the battle. It's about what's happening on the hill. It's about the appeal that we're making to Jehovah Nissi. It's about the petition that we are bringing and giving to Jehovah Adonai. So pray for that hand. Pray for those hands that you are holding right now. Go ahead right now. If you're watching online, I want you to link up with someone in your house. Link up with someone in your house, soul, and pray for them as if you, the way you would want someone to pray for you. If you're in the car by yourself, if you're in a space by yourself and you're watching online, just think about someone and just begin to go and bombard heaven
on their behalf. Come on, saints, open up your mouth and begin to pray for those hands, that hand that you are holding right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we are appealing on behalf of our brother, on behalf of our sisters, oh God. We are pleading and petitioning on their behalf for you to show up and to be Jehovah Nissi, oh God, for you to go before them in the battle, and not just go before them in the battle, Father God, but for you, oh God, to give them the tools necessary, oh God, to be able to fight the battle, oh God, in the name of Jesus. They don't have to be afraid of the battle, Father God. Remind them that they have a post-stated anointing upon their lives, oh God, to help them fight Goliath, to help them fight giants, oh God, to help them fight depression, oh God, to help them fight, Lord God, all the imps and situations, oh God, that have come into their lives to take them out, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Remind them, oh God, remind them of the warrior that's in them, oh God. Remind them, oh God, of your strength, oh God. Remind them, oh God, this is not the first time, nor will it be the last time, oh God, that they will be in a battle, Father God. Remind them, oh God, of your past victories, oh God, that you have done in their life, oh God, from a little kid all the way up until now, Father God. Remind them how you bought them out, Lord God. Remind them how you delivered them in the past, oh God. Remind them, oh God, how you made ways out of no ways, oh God. We need you, oh God. We need for heaven to get involved, oh God. We need for heaven to get involved, oh God. We need for heaven to get involved, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we squeeze victory into their hands, oh God. We squeeze strength into their hands, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, they are going to come through this, oh God. They are going to go through this, oh God. They are going to come out on top, Father God, for you told us in your word, Father God, even when we're in the valley, Father God, you are with us, oh God. Even when we're in the storm, oh God, you are with us, oh God. You said in your word, Father, that you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us, oh God. You told us in your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you would be there every step of the way, Father. So we pray, oh God, for them, oh God. We pray that heaven would get involved, oh God. We pray that heaven would come down, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you would get involved, oh God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, Father God, for we know it's only up from here, God. We know that you're going to show up and be El Shaddai, God Almighty, Father, in the name of Jesus. And because we are a people of faith, we don't have to wait until the battle is over, but we're going to take a praise break right now. We don't have to wait until the battle is over, but we're going to praise you right now. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. All of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.